right, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. All right, so it's basically looked the same conversation, and just find that people are so resistant to, some sort of simple explanation regarding what we are, what the universe is doing, and what it all kind of means. And as I've sort of pointed out, the only thing that really has any meaning are the sensations. They're the only thing that has value, really. And everything else only has value because it causes something to feel good or to feel bad. And if something doesn't change how anything feels, then it's totally meaningless. And anything that happens, that can happen in more than one way by some perceived idea that it can happen in more than one way, right? We know it's all determined in the sense that we're all just part of the swirl, and the swirl is already swirling, and, it's going to do what it's doing. We're just robots, playing our robotic role. And, we can believe we're doing something more than that, but it's just not in the cards. It's not in the physics. It's not in the mechanics that there's anything more to it than programming. And we're like a calculator. You press certain buttons and it does certain things based on the rules it's been programmed with. And that's the outcome you're going to get, and that's what it's going to do. So, but this conversation is still important because obviously we are actively being reprogrammed constantly. And words mean a lot in terms of how we conceptualize and see the world and see ourselves in it. And all of that is all based on some sort of wordplay, way of describing it, way of saying it. So there's probably ways of saying determinism, okay, that doesn't sound so nasty, where somebody would say, oh, okay, I don't mind that. You could say cause and effect. It's not, it's kind of, that's a little friendlier. So it's really just a part of this is just searching for these best words or best definitions of the simple mechanics and putting in some sort of words that are universal enough where anybody can get it, what's being said, what's actually being said, and it's efficient. We don't have to spend hours and hours making videos trying to express it in some way that will in some way trigger the thoughts necessary for somebody to understand. So, I could be called a pessimist. I'm really not a pessimist. I would argue I'm trying to do the best I can, try to make every day, no more unpleasant than it has to be and all that kind of crap. I'm not certainly looking for negatives, but I am aware they exist, and I'm just pragmatic about my need to do what I can to prevent, trouble. So, take as few unnecessary risks as possible and all that kind of crap. And to some people, that takes the fun out of life because, you don't go speeding down the road and you don't do these other things that are supposed to be fun. And I guess my argument would be is that it's because you're kind of ignorant and stupid if you don't realize that that fun is so meager and superficial and silly. That it's just not rational, frankly. It's immature. See, that's a word you can use to talk about how people are ignorant. You can call them immature. Is that better than ignorant? Or stupid? Or moronic? So, yeah, this is, that's the catch. Is there's just, we have lots of words, but and lots of words saying the same thing, but none of them say it just right, and that's the trick. All right, so anyway, I just wrote a bunch of shit, okay, just words, sentences, ideas, concepts, and I'll just drivel through them. it's just in this overview thing. This is not a very complex argument I'm making on YouTube, right? This shouldn't be beyond people's understanding, but they can't. The trick is if they don't want to know the truth. I mean, if they're a flat earther, for example, or a 9/11 conspiracy nut, these are people. You're just obnoxious to, you know, accepting reality, and you, for whatever reason, have some other agenda, okay, besides the truth. And, you know, I can't do much for you except try to get you to understand that it's kind of important that you're not an asshole. Lots of stuff depends on it, so to speak. You know, it's really important that the assholes not be assholes. Okay. So, bad judgment, that's just the words put together, okay? And it's connected to the weighing of the stories. So I've been telling stories for, 20 years now, and trying to explain, you know, through metaphors and, you know, these kind of videos, you know, that this equation isn't very complicated, that all of the stuff you think is important really isn't important, and it's just a notion in your head that you know, you need to be here, or people need to be here, or feeling things need to be here, or the earth needs to be here, or blah 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 blah. And you know, the simple argument is you know, as I've made some simple arguments, right, I'm telling you a story. The story is Mars doesn't have any of this living stuff on it, and it's just an absolute fact of the 15 billion people that have existed with somewhat educated brains. That's going too far, right? Then we have to go down to like 10. You know, maybe we have to go, maybe we have to go less than 5. But anyway, you know, with, you know, some information, you were talking not in the Dark Age people, but, you know, people of the last 1,000 years have had some capacity to think about the world. And anyway, none of those. There's not any. I don't think a reasonable argument can be made that anybody's really shed a tear, okay, for the tragedy that is the vacuum on Mars, okay, the absence of chirping birds and burrowing bugs and you know, plague and polio. You know, yeah, there's no cancer on Mars. And, you know, no one's cried because, oh, what a tragedy. They're not having the fun we're having. So you can understand that, well, you know, it must not really be that catastrophic, right? The genocide of the Martians, in the sense that nobody birthed them. You know, the planet wore a condom. And there is no, you know, and obviously it's not a tragedy. And it's only a tragedy because you're rooting for a team, Team Earth, you know, Team Nature, you know, Team Life. And, you know, you're just a silly footballer. You're just some silly idiot in the stands, you know, who's invested vicariously their existence in a bunch of silly things being true, you know, silly things happening. You know, you want your guy to beat up the other guy, and somehow that'll make the world so much better because your guy beat up the other guy. And it's so delusional and trivial, you know, that you should be able to understand, yeah, I get it, it's trivial. And it's very personal. Everybody has a different little narrative, a different little silly story that makes them happy. I mean, there's some people that cry because, you know, SpongeBob had a bad day, but they're not crying because Mars is void of living things. You know, so it's all, you know, just bullshit in your head. All right, and so we have to be smart enough to understand this context, that these are all just stories. So if somebody tells you some stupid Jeebus story or some Mohammed story, and it's thousands of years old, and you know that people are compulsive liars, so why would you believe any of that crap? And wouldn't the very existence of all of these other stories just demonstrate that, you know, they all can't be true, and the truth is they all sound like crap. So they're all crap. You know, it seems it's obvious. There is no birthday cake, or there is no, you know, chocolate cream pie. It's just piles of shit. All right. And that the real story is Darwin and, you know, the chemical story before that and the nuclear story before that. And this whole creation of all of this stuff that we think is important is just a mechanical process that chemistry goes through if it hits, you know, if the right two chemicals mix together. But see, these are the stories. And so some people tell these stories like, oh, life came from outer space, or this, you know, they're always trying to contrive some bullshit. Like there's a whole bunch of, you know, intelligent life in the universe, when the odds, the rarity of every single event that we're made out of is insanely unlikely. It's not just about making a DNA molecule. The DNA molecule has to have, it has to have incidentally, as part of its shape, created a machine that cuts it in half. You know, that's you know, it's not just about a DNA molecule. It's about a DNA molecule that made a machine that cuts it in half, and then it can, you know, separate and become two new molecules. You know, not a likely event. And then you go through all the other unlikely events. There's only one kind of thinking electrical cell, the neuron. That's it. In no other life form has there ever been any other mechanism that creates this central processing capacity. So it's all brains are happen because of one event. There's no second way or third way to make a brain. You know, lots of things that just tell you, that just scream rare, rare, rare. And again, even just getting to the stage we got to, you know, the whole idea of us, you know, monkeys becoming capable of going to school. The idea is you have to have the ability to go to school before there's a school. That doesn't happen. Evolution doesn't make that mistake too often, where it gives you a capacity, like to pull a trigger on a gun. It gives you a trigger finger, but you haven't made a gun yet. It, you know, evolution just doesn't do that. It doesn't give you the key to a door you haven't made yet, that doesn't exist. So huge odds against ever being able to acquire vocabulary and intelligence, because you need to have it before you can use it. All right. You can't, well, whatever. You might understand what I said. So anyway, so the weighing of stories is just, this is our key function. This is our key responsibility. If we're going to think of ourselves as intelligent, we have to be intelligent enough to know the difference between bullshit and facts, evidence, the truth. And that's where everything breaks down, it seems. So I kept thinking that all I had to do was make a good argument, a reasonable argument, and that's the end. But people aren't being very fair. They're really bad at weighing evidence and even paying attention to evidence. So that's what I've sort of learned in arguing about physics. So it's been very disappointing, because people who I know are smart enough to know the difference between bullshit and something that's credible, and they're pretending they don't know the difference. They don't know the difference between, you know, a grandmother cooking muffins and axe murderer. You know, they're pretending they can't tell the difference, and it's just bullshit. And it's belligerent and nasty, and it's dishonest. But that's the problem with humans. So that's part of the story, is they have still too much of the monkey in them. They have too much of a feeling engine, And that feeling engine is telling them what's in my interest, what's in it for me, what's in it for me, what's in it for me. If there's nothing in it for them, then they won't, they can't manifest any passion to change anything as long as they're feeding off of it. I mean, being a vampire is okay as long as I'm the vampire and you're the victim. That's sort of their attitude. And that's just bullshit. All right, so take a break and we'll move on. But it's the biggest part is I can't do it for you. I can't make you reasonable, right? So what do I do if you're unreasonable? That's, you know, that's a real dilemma. Yeah, interesting. I don't know. There's just too many buttons here that go, everything goes all wrong. I didn't click anywhere near any of that. But anyway, I'll be back. All right, so we'll move on just because I have to move on, you know. But it's really important, this fact that you really have to honestly weigh the stories you hear, even the stories you think. You have to really do this fair examination and say, well, what really is the truth? All right, so I did put down the words innocent, ignorant victims. And the point I was trying to, the thing in my thought is just saying, okay, this idea of innocence, and I'm going to contrast that against the perpetrators, okay, who, you know, they're, I should be able to move that, yeah, who are belligerently delusional. So you have these two things. You have all these animals who are obviously ignorant, and ignorant is an excuse in this case. Just as you would know that, let's say their God was a real, you know, Christian God was a real story, Jesus was a real story. You wouldn't blame, you wouldn't expect your God to punish the North American Indians because they didn't know who God was, you know, and they didn't get baptized and they didn't do all that stuff. So they shouldn't have been going to hell, okay, for hundreds or thousands of years, 20,000 years. They shouldn't be going to hell because they didn't weren't exposed to the story. And clearly, all the animals are just retarded forms of ourselves. They're just doing the same thing we're doing. It's just that they don't have the same tools that we have. So we have a few extra tools, but they're both boats. They both came from the fishes. The fishes are fish. They're you know, they're distant cousins who have... you know, less than perfect manners. You probably will shit in your living room. And it's because they're ignorant, not because they're assholes. And all of these things are dependent on us. We're the ones that will decide whether they have to keep getting tortured or not. And we have the power and the tools to stop it, frankly. And, you know, we have to make the right choice for their sake, okay? So this does get a little bit to this whole argument about what antinatalism is, you know, sort of defining it. And clearly they're wishing to define it. Some of them, Benatar and others, are pushing the fact that you really can't, the concept doesn't have much meaning if you're going to pretend that humans can walk out of the building and leave all the retards and the disabled people. You know, the building's on fire. You can put the fire out, or you can walk out the exit. And the idea is, no, you've got to put the fire out because there's all of these people who don't have the ability to walk out the exit. And you've got to help them because their brains and their welfare and their feelings are just as magnificent and as important as yours. And it's just a frickin' fact that feelings are really evolutionarily old. It's an old tool. Manipulating organisms with sensations is a very primitive tool. One of the first tools of intelligent organisms. All the mammals must have it, and it must go much deeper because it's kind of fundamental to learning anything. Our whole physiology and everything else needs that reward signal. It needs to know you're going to get, it needs to know the difference between things that failed because No, you had trauma and pain and things that were successful because you had a good time. And it's so fundamental to our psychology and our conditioning that there's just no way to not recognize it's a very old function. And all the animals are basically experiencing that function, and they don't have our ability to put it in context and to understand its place in our functionality. And so they're trapped being stuck with reacting impulsively, less elaborately, with less elaborate thinking. And we're the ones that really have the capacity. We're the one, look, it's like people in a plane who don't know how to fly the plane and the pilot does. Doesn't mean he can just bail out of the plane because he has knowledge. Now he has a responsibility. With knowledge comes responsibility, I guess, is another little pile of crap I could write there. So anyway, and so this is about victims. You're just, I don't wish to just do some whiny pleading with you, but can't you understand that all of these things getting ground up every day, all the things dying horribly, all of this stuff, all right, is the price being paid for you to have this delusion that you're doing something spiritual or magnificent or worthy of transportation to singularity, la. Some whatever it is, your heaven. And it's just bullshit. Like your fingerprints, your brain is going to disappear. You are going to disappear when you're dead. You're not going anywhere. The arrangement that was you is over, and all you can imagine is maybe, somebody will take my place because there's billions of people. There's got to be a doppelganger somewhere. But he might be living in Bangladesh. So is that what you wish for yourself, is to wake up in Bangladesh? Yeah. Anyway, I just don't know how people can't use a little bit of imagination and just imagine all the horrible lives and imagine the fact is that they're just as real as yours. And you might think you're winning in this life, this version of being alive. You might think, everything's fine, I'm doing okay. The next version might not be so okay, huh? And do you really think it's going to be something different than your version, except it's going to have a different name and it's going to look different and it's going to have other psychological issues than you, and it's going to, maybe it's going to like, women with big giant asses and stuff. Who knows? Yeah. I don't really get it. Anyway, I don't know. You're not going to escape the trauma. The future is going to be you in essence. It's going to be something just as real, just as alive. And it's going to be trapped in an earthquake, and it's going to have to chew its own arm off. Is that what you want to do with your time in the future? Anyway, continuing. All right. So the problem is yes, people are belligerently delusional perpetrators. Okay, and so it's like they're just again, they're weighing the stories, and instead of weighing them based on what has real fact value, truth value, it's really about what's in it for me. They're putting their fingers on the scale all over the place and cheating the truth. All right, fact enhanced versus stupid. So that's all we can be, is we can enhance our functionality by acquiring facts, by accurately picking, choosing, weighing stories, definitions, statements about reality, and it makes us compute better, okay, and we do a better job. And the stupid are the ones who, yes, they believe the flat earthers are, you know, some other moron talking about, you know, some god made out of fractals or something. And it's just obvious, it's not really ignorant, it's stupid. I mean, stupid sounds worse to me, moronic. I mean, it's not like you're just ignorant. I mean, you really, to be stupid or a moron, you really have to be almost trying to avoid the facts, because they're really not hidden. So, stupid enhanced, fact enhanced, or stupid robots. So that's, you know, the key fact is that we're just robots, you know, programmed through every event in our life, and it just makes us into the, I don't know, psycho killers. It just makes us into this mush of ambitions and desires and sensibilities is a nice word, right? Sensibilities. You know, what triggers what in you in terms of a feeling? What sounds good? What smells good? What feels good? And these are all very subjective. So for each individual, their programming will be subtly different. Different colors will be pukey or pleasant, you know. Everything will trigger each one of us differently. And, you know, we have to appreciate that and try to get past that mush and be able to have a rational conversation about things that aren't, you're not supposed to associate with bad smells or bad feelings, you know, in terms of just recognizing the truth, okay? And so I could call you a robot and it shouldn't bother you, because every piece of evidence indicates that's exactly what you are. You are a product of your creation, okay? Your maturation. You need to practice the piano to play the piano. You need to practice being an asshole to be an asshole. It's just a truth almost. And because the truth is so, I think, glaringly obvious concerning these facts of our evolution as biological machines, again, we're back to, you really have to be belligerently missing the truth. You have to be, you know, painting on the telescope, you know, what you want to see. You have to be cheating. It's that simple. You're cheaters. You're cheating the truth, and in doing it, torturing the future. All right, so one of the simple truths is the next statement, this idea of being a smart, knowledgeable robot. And the robots can do that. We can calculate, okay, the circumstance and say, well, what should my brain be, okay, my controlling device? Should it be smart and knowledgeable, or should it be ignorant and stupid? And you know, obviously... you can say, okay, it's work to be smart and knowledgeable, so that's bad. But you can't argue that if you could have all of the knowledge, that is, if you could acquire, you know, millions of hours worth of knowledge, like if you could listen to every letter or every word Einstein spoke, or and Rutherford, and Faraday, and, you know, all of these people, every description of every experiment ever conducted, and you could have all that knowledge, clearly you'd say yes. If I had the storage space and I could just, you know, hit the download button, of course, yes, give me all the knowledge, give me the basic information, all right? Let me see what it looked like to sail across the ocean heading for North America. you know, let me have information about every, you know, every Darwin walking through a rainforest and itemizing all the animals and how they behave and what they do and what chemicals they secrete. Of course, knowledge is good. Ignorance is bad. So we can understand that. Our calculator, even if it's really dumb, even if it's very uninformed and it doesn't know how to play the piano or the violin or the guitar or anything, and it doesn't know how to do much, it can know it's better to know than not know, okay, if you're going to make a decision, okay? Decisions, more information is always better. I mean, knowing that you can't walk through a tree, all right, is, that's a pretty simple thing to know. You don't need to know much about the tree except that it's hard and you can't walk through it. But if you're going to do something else, like feed people or do something else, maybe you can find out that the certain pulp of a certain tree, you can smash it into a junk that you can cook and make bread out of. It, you know, you can harvest wheat. You can do different things. That knowledge is very valuable. And so, yes, it's always better to be smart. So there's no point in making any other argument for any other way to be than to acquire all the information. And the simple argument is if you really do read Darwin, you know, it's a little tedious, but come on. I mean, a lot of it's stuff you already know, you know, that you can breed pigeons and you can breed sheep. And we know even more now, right? Because dogs and cats and everything have been bred into all kinds of monstrosities. So we know the idea is you just select the parents and you have likelihoods of creating certain puppies, through that process. And you just keep modifying the selection. And then it's this simple idea that for us, nature did the selecting based on who won, whose kids died more often, whose kids died less often. That decided. And now in our society, we have, you know, kind of tilted the game upside down. All the pieces have flown to hell. Because now we're doing something really stupid by just saying the dumber you are, the more likely you are to have kids, and the more reckless and sloppy and stupid and ignorant and lazy and reckless and stupid and moronic, you're more likely to breed, and that's really bad, okay? We ought to be able to just say as a thing, as a statement, that's not ideal. So if we're going to bother being here, it doesn't seem like a very good idea that we're going to sentence most of the newborns to pop out of kind of skanky vaginas. It's sort of important, the selection thing. It's another little fact. It's just a little fact that sits there and says, okay, yeah, it's kind of important what the parentage is and how you mix people and what you're going to do to your kid because of how you've mixed things. You don't want to mix my parents died of Alzheimer's at 65 with my parents died of Alzheimer's at 55. You don't want to mix those two people. Bad idea. It just popped into my head, Jim Fix, because, he was sort of, there's been people who have just been sentenced to death by their parents, by genetic defect. And, nobody noticed, I guess because they all died. And so, nobody knows that there was a trend there and there was a reason they all died. And, that's what the genetics is going to demand of the newborn baby, is that it's not going to have a chance, no matter how it tries to succeed, it's going to be forced to fail because nature didn't require people to live very long to lay their eggs and get out of the way. It almost rewarded that attitude. And it wasn't until later that old people became kind of valuable, and that's why we started living longer, is because it was good to have some old people. You know, in case you were going to have a fight with another tribe, you could throw the old people at them first. You know, instead of the young ones, you'd throw the old ones at them. You know, let them waste their arrows on the old people. You know, lots of stuff like that. Let them taste the, you know, let them drink the water first and see if it kills them. You know, that kind of thing. Anyway, a little bit cynical. All right, so let's move on. All right, so this is sort of the, you know, the other piece, the being able to weigh stories, big, very important. And but the big physical fact that's really important is that it's a mechanical universe. And that's it. It's mechanical. It's made of stuff obeying really simple checker kind of rules. And it's just like there's this insane amount of checkers. And so the checkers can be in arrangements that can be very complex. They can have very complex patterns. So there's a bunch of patterns inside of you. Patterns that create the walls of your arteries. Patterns that create your kidneys and your liver and your this and the that. And all of that crap, okay, has been molded into a system. All right, that creates this capacity for this big giant organism to find a niche, okay, to reproduce in. And anything that can find that niche, a niche, lives. So there's really big ants, and there's little tiny ants. There's all kinds of different varieties of all kinds of things, because it's possible, and they can find a niche. And so, you know, compared to, you know, organisms that lay a million eggs, you know, where women only have, whatever, 45 or something. And that's it. Well, not 45. They got to have enough to go every month for 40 years. It doesn't start until they're 20. So it's 20 years worth, I guess, of eggs. So that would be, say, 200 eggs. And that's it. But even that's just scary when you think about it. You know, it's just way too many. Just think of all the brothers and sisters you never had. Anyway, you know, they just got flushed. And anyway, so I'm supposed to just do the mechanical universe part, but I don't want to hit you with a bunch of physics. But if you really look at the facts, all right, you're stuck in a world that is photons travel billions of light years and don't waver from their course. You know, they don't just spontaneous do anything. They don't just hiccup. They don't have any of these defects that happen to much more complex things. This simple universe is incredibly strict and incredibly sharp and precise. And there's just no room for any spirits or any idea of I'm going to do it without causes making the effect. I'm going to play the piano without practicing, you know, that kind of thing. It just don't happen. I mean, with, you know, exceptions being the idiot savants who, you know, aren't really playing the piano, okay? They're just, you know, their brain is focused on one thing, and it's focused. It's really focused. And so they're just pattern matching. But they can't, you know, figure out, you know, how to use a knife and fork. But anyway, yeah, it's just hard to stay on that subject. Mechanical universe, mechanical. It's a system, a mechanical system governed by strict rules, and none of the rules have in it fairness or you're a nice guy and luck and hope and wish and all that crap doesn't exist in this universe. All right, reproducing chemistry. And the word evolving is right after it. So that's all it is, right? So you need that DNA molecule. You need this thing that can split, all right, and make copies of itself. And there's only one version of it on planet Earth, all right? And it's just a piece of chemistry. And the chemistry ended up making, okay, as part of its copying process, as part of its splitting process, it is also making chemistry. And it started making machines, okay, that, you know, adding features, adding chemistry. The DNA molecule is just really a thing where a chemical hits and it tumbles down and it turns into a new piece of chemistry. And so it was making compounds at first, and then the compounds became a reliable tool, because you ended up creating a protein that became the membrane, you know, and then you were sealed, and then you could filter, and then, you know, all kinds of stuff could happen. So I can't really go into all that in these videos, but, you know, you can watch some biological science and acquire knowledge of the fact that, yes, it's again another system that doesn't have any room for any "the giraffe wants to make its neck longer" crap. Okay, it's not happening that way. All right, and so the idea is that the evolution is just creating tool equipped, and there's probably another word after that. No. Okay, so it's just the difference between us and thems, you know, the lower forms, all that kind of crap. It's just saying, look, the animals are a 1919 battleship, and the human is the 1980 battleship or something, you know, and so, yeah, we have so much more tool in terms of how we can use our intelligence and, you know, than they can. Our radar is better, our, you know, sonar, whatever you want to equate our capacity to see, you know, to model our world. We can do it much better and with a much bigger context than any of the animals can. And these are just tools. And clearly the tool of intelligence has only been tested for 10,000 years, and we're pretty close to suffocating in our own garbage. So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, it might not pass the test, because we're smart enough to build the fire, but we're not smart enough to put it out or to put it in a fireplace. You know, we're smart enough to play with things that are, we're not smart enough to control. Like reproduction. All right. So the next thing. So it's just tools. So that's all we've done. Evolution has given us a tool. We have this nice tool of intelligence, and it can be used as a scheming tool for our own pleasure, or it can be used as an enlightenment tool that makes this robot capable of being to function more efficiently, do less psycho killing. You know, it's the truth of it. All right, psycho torturing. You know, realizing that there's no point in making things just so they can suffer. All right. Anyway, so intelligence. So tool equipped. Intelligence is just one of those tools, is the point. And now the intelligence is evolving separate from any biological intelligence. We're not becoming more intelligent biologically or more capable of being intelligent biologically. But the facts that we have experimentally gleaned out of our environment, that intelligence has grown, and it's there to be accessed and to be used in your brain to process the reality. All right, so now it's the point is, this is essentially the trick word, is you learn tricks. You learn how to, and that's all most people are doing, is learning all they need to get what they want. How do I undo their her bra, you know, with one finger or one hand? It's all people are just thinking of gimmicks and bullshit. That's what they're using their intelligence to contrive, is shortcuts and delusional crud that paves their road, to somebody else's hell. That's simple. But the bright side is, the intelligence also gave us the ability to construct the condom and separate ourselves from this obligation to reproduce and make it possible for people who have acquired some knowledge of responsibility and, doing the right thing, to do the right thing and not make reckless babies. All right. So what are we doing here is one of the questions people love to ask. And I always put it in this other context of what's your obligation, says somebody being here. What we're doing is, kind of simple. We're eating and shitting and fucking and, trying to gain some sort of gratification out of our life, trying to construct a pathway, through the foreseeable mush of the future, and say, I'm just trying not to make any, not to do anything too stupid, not to fall into any traps that are too impossible to get out of. A little mud on my feet is okay, but I don't want to be in the quicksand. That's what most people are doing here, is just trying to eke out their gratification. And obviously the point that would make is that, your other obligation is to the future, because what you're doing here now is building the world they have to live in. You're building you're farming their food supply, okay? You're responsible for their future crops in a way. And so if you put a bunch of dioxin in the soil, you're going to poison them, and that's the real context, is that you have this obligation to be conscious of exactly that this isn't just about you. And so that's essentially the next line, okay? It's not a me game. So we all feel like it's a me game. I mean, I'm very me-ish, I have to say. I mean, I definitely feel me-ish. But I know that even people I hate, even things I have no use for, I understand that their experiences are just as valuable as mine. Their brain feeling the sensation is just as important as mine feeling that sensation. Them being afraid is just as bad as me being afraid. Them being offended is just as important as if I'm offended. And unfortunately, that offense is the tricky part of, how to communicate with people and be serious without being offensive. And that's the tricky part. I'm obviously not very good at that part of the game. It's just such a, just a key piece of stuff to understand, is that your brain has to understand that it would be foolish, stupid, moronic, retarded, ignorant, dumb for you to think the resource that is your capacity to say stop or go should think that you're the only person you should say stop and go to, that you're the only brain that matters, that your welfare is the only human welfare that matters, or any of that crap. And the more you think about that, the more you figure out that the future is gigantic, full of a huge number of things just as important as me. And that future is just so big that there's no way to be too distracted by what do I want. And I mean too distracted where you can't even just say the words. You don't have, I've said this before, you don't have to be a vegetarian. just concede, yeah, eating animals sucks. It's a really dumb thing to do, but I can't do any better. That's okay. You know, just admitting that you're a failure is fine. Admitting that you're incompetent or you suck at it is fine. And then put that in the right context and say, I'm not going to sentence the future to it. I'm not going to perpetuate my liabilities. I'm not going to sit there and put the hamburger in front of the kid. I don't have to do that. All right. It's an us game. All right. And the only sensible, so the next line, definition of us is us feeling things. So the us is very big. Okay, all the things that feel are, in my opinion, one of us. All right, and that is a huge responsibility, you know, but it's real. It's just a fact that we're responsible for this. You know, we're flying a plane, okay, because we can vote and we can decide what the future will be. We have the power. We've got some kind of steering wheel. Yeah, maybe it's not perfect, but it's some kind of steering wheel. And there's trillions of passengers. And so, yes, what's your brain supposed to do? Your brain is going to sit there and say, well, what's in it for me? Or is it going to recognize, well, no, I have to figure out what's in it for all of us, not just me. All right, thinking is not much of an experience. So yeah, that was the, you think, you know, thinking is so important, and yet it's not, you know, as a thing to do, it's not much fun, you know, unless you're thinking of, you know, chasing a girl or something, you know, or you know, unless you're thinking of something that's going to gain you gratification. Thinking isn't much of a fun experience. It's not very rich. It's tedious sometimes, and even tedious is probably a good enough word. It's just obnoxious in a way sometimes. You just don't feel like learning. You don't feel like listening, and then you don't feel like trying to, you know, turn it at the right angle. So the more, you know, the more you're doing this introspection and this, you know, trying to manipulate things and figure out what's my right choices and what should I say, it becomes very difficult because there's so many ways you can turn it inside your head, and you have to imagine these different three-dimensional objects that you're rotating, and your brain just can't do all those calculations for as a presentation for your conscious self. You know, just your subconscious is very good. It does an awful lot of work, but it just can't handle all of that. And that's why it's so hard for us to, you know, that's why it took so long to do this industrial revolution thing, this gaining control over our environment, is because it just takes a lot of work to figure out some things that are really simple. You know, the Roman arch, you know, lots of things are really simple, but it probably took a lot of trial and error before they figured out why it works and what makes it not work. You know, it's work. All right. So thinking is not much of an experience. Feeling is heavy in value. So as pointed out, it's frankly, it's the only thing that has value in the universe. Is the sensations, and the thoughts only have existential value. They only have indirect value because the thoughts can help create better feelings in the organisms. And that's why we have a responsibility to do the thinking well, because there's an awful lot of feelings that will be imposed, okay, based on how we think. Yeah, that's good enough. All right, so heavy in value. Pain is the price paid for the bits of pleasure. And So pain is the price paid, should be the end of that sentence, probably. And that has to be understood. So if we're going to make the argument that we're worth it, well, we actually have to make the argument. We have to explain how it is that it's okay for me to cause somebody else's grief for my pleasure, whatever it's worth. And I would just argue that those arguments haven't really been made. All right, the bits of pleasure are brief, superficial, and crude. And it's just a fact. So you're paying the price of torture for superficial, crude, and brief. Yeah. So that's not a bargain. That's the real story. And until you make it a bargain, you got no business not wearing the condom, and you have no business doing anything else but attempting to move the memes, the ideas that drive culture to this much more risk-averse and torture-averse perception of our role here, which is really just to clean it up and then close it down. You know, clean it and then burn it, frankly. Because it just can't do anything worth the price paid. The delusion of, I'm living an important life, that delusion is not worth torturing anything for. Just as it wouldn't be worth putting anything alive on Mars. Mars is doing just fine. The no torture plan works. Alright. So, probably enough of a video. Yeah, I'll say it is. Even if it isn't, I've decided it's enough. But it's probably a selfish decision, you know, because I'm tired. Yeah, that's it. An hour is an hour. It's almost an hour. I can just babble for 3 minutes. But I don't know how productive that is, so I won't do it to you. The battle is with facts that I'm not going to be the source of. You know, that's part of this argument here. I mean, it's disappointing that people still aren't persuaded, okay, by all the scientific evidence demonstrating the truth of evolution. And, you know, that's a glaring, frightening reality. And the fact that there are so many people now who, all right, they don't fall for the 2,000-year-old fables, but they're just rewriting the same story. They're ending up heading for the same kind of bullshit that we are magical organisms, and the, you know, that somehow there is a, you know, some kind of Star Wars bar. You know, I don't even know what they're imagining. You know, some place we're going to head to where intelligence is going to somehow have a big party, you know. And it's really not. It's just a silly story. No better than the heavens and the hells and all that bullshit. The thinking you're thinking you've reached nirvana because you're a cow or something. What? What? No, I don't think so. I don't think that's the perfect life. Anyway, so till the next time and such and so forth. And what?